Amen. So you'll notice when we read in Deuteronomy chapter 20, verse 1, the Lord made sort of a prophecy about the future when the children of Israel would go into the promised land to begin to drive out the inhabitants, which happened in the book of Joshua. And now Judges is a continuation of that. And the Lord told them, when you go out to war against your enemies and you see horses and chariots and an army larger than your own. Now, what do you think normally happens if you're an army and you see horses and chariots and an army larger than your own? What's the initial reaction? Yeah, you got to turn around and run. They're bigger than us, and they have horses and chariots, which are powerful weapons for war back in that day. It's almost like tanks instead of infantry. And so if you go stand, and the Lord's saying, hey, when the day comes and you stand before your enemy and you see these horses and these chariots, he said, don't be afraid. For this reason, what is it? The Lord your God is with you. Now, that's hard to imagine because the Lord is invisible. I can see the chariots and the horses, but I can't see the Lord. And he's saying, don't be afraid because I'm there. And when you understand that, when you recognize that God is there, his presence is there, you're greater than any enemy. And now in Judges chapter 1, verse 19, it says the Lord was with Judah and he took possession of the hill country, but he could not drive out the inhabitants of the plain. Why? What does it say there? Because they had chariots. Isn't that weird? They let the chariots keep them from obedience to God. The Lord told them, when you come into the land and you see the horses and chariots, don't be afraid because I'm with you. And then we see this, I mean, it's kind of a weird scripture in a way because it says the Lord was with them. Right there. It says the Lord was with Judah and he took possession of the hill country, but he couldn't drive out the inhabitants because they had these chariots of iron. So somehow, even though the Lord was with them, maybe they didn't recognize that he was there. Maybe they didn't rely upon his power and his strength and they were only looking at their own ability. But for whatever reason, these chariots kept them from doing what God wanted them to do. Now, we're going to jump from there up to chapter 4 of Judges now. I just want to give you a little bit of background about the role that chariots played in this conquest of the land. Now, chapter 4 is written after chapter 3, obviously. Chapter 3 ends with a guy by the name of Ehud who gave the children of Israel rest for 80 years. Think about that. Is anybody here over 80 years old? All right, so there's two people that are over 80 years old. So for all of your life and all of our lives, they had rest because of this man named Ehud who conquered, and he was a judge back in chapter 3. But now we're in a new chapter. And what happened? What happened after this 80 years? It says the people of Israel again did what was evil. See, they never learned their lesson. They did again what was evil in the sight of the Lord after Ehud died. And so, how many of you know there's a consequence in turning our hearts away from the Lord? And so the Lord sold them into the hand of Jabin, king of Canaan, who reigned in Hazor. The commander of his army was this guy named Sisera, who lived in Harosheth Hagoyim. Then it says the people of Israel cried out to the Lord for help. And that was, remember we talked earlier about this cycle about here comes the enemy, they cry out to the Lord delivers them, they have rest, they enter back into sin. The Lord turns them over to the enemy, they cry out, he delivers them, and this is constant cycle. And so now they're back into the place where they're ready to cry out to the Lord. And so they cry out to the Lord for help. Why? For this guy, Sisera, had 900 chariots of iron. And we all know, we've already seen how powerful chariots are and how they have the tendency to put fear in the people of God. This guy had 900 chariots of iron, and he oppressed the people of Israel cruelly for 20 years. Now Deborah was a prophetess. The wife of Lapidoth was judging Israel at that time. I love that. Just in the middle of this, creating this scene of, here's the people of Israel doing evil again, turned over to this enemy. They're beginning to cry out to the Lord. So there's at least a beginning of a turning of their heart. They're crying out to God. And it says, hey, by the way, there was this lady named Deborah, prophetess, who was judging Israel at that time. And I want to speak to you. I think this, I'm teaching you about encouragement based on her ministry to a man by the name of Barak. You know, she was a woman who was able, she was a prophetess who was able to discern and understand something of the heart of God. And then she was able to give voice to that and somehow give encouragement to this man, Barak, who would become a new judge. You know, the hearts of the people are changing. What do they need? What do they need to just step across that line to say, hey, we're crying out to the Lord. What's the next step? And it took this woman, Deborah, to be able to speak on behalf of the Lord to give them a new perspective that enabled them to move forward and gain victory. And I think of the New Testament prophecy, the gift of prophecy. What is it called? It's a gift for edification, exhortation, and comfort. I mean, we heard this today. Two prophetic statements given to the congregation. Wasn't it encouraging to you? This is what God does with prophecy. It's the ability to speak on behalf of the Lord. And that's what Deborah was doing back in that day. She was speaking on behalf of the Lord into the life of another person to give encouragement, to move them forward in some way, to be following the ways of God. And I love what the Bible says about prophecy. You may all what? Prophesy. This is a gift that is universally available to the body of Christ. You may all prophesy. And so as we're seeking the Lord, even in our own church, to be able to say, Lord, use me to speak prophetically into the hearts of people. Let me be that edifying person, that encouraging person. Let me be able to receive insight from you that I can speak into the lives of others that might urge them on to the best course of action for their life. That's really what encouragement's all about. And so let's look at five things that encouragement did back in the book of Judges. This is Deborah speaking to a man by the name of Barak. Yeah, Barak. Judges 4, verse 6. This Deborah, it says, she sent and summoned Barak, the son of Abinoam from Kedesh Naphtali, and said to him, has not the Lord, the God of Israel, commanded you? Go gather your men at Mount Tabor, taking 10,000 from the people of Naphtali and the people of Zebulun. So what's the first thing encouragement does? It's basically calling people to acknowledge what God has already spoken to you. You see what she said here? Has not the Lord already commanded you? So somehow in this man's heart, in Barak's heart, they're seeing these 900 chariots, they're seeing this army coming against Israel, and somehow God has already spoken to him, Barak, rise up, gather some men and go fight for Israel. But what did he need? He needed somebody to actually do what God told you to do. And that's what encouragement is. The first thing I can tell you that encouragement is, it is a call to respond to what the Lord has already commanded you. How many of you guys have had the Lord speak something to your heart and you just sat on it? Maybe a week, maybe a month, maybe a year, maybe 10 years. And what we need is somebody who is an encourager who can have this insight from the Lord and come to you and say, hey, why don't you do what God has already told you to do? Step into that, because God is the one who's directing this situation. They were crying out to the Lord. The Lord is the one who brought them under this other enemy. Now he's the one they're crying to, saying, "Lord, deliver us." And so the Lord is now ready to deliver them. Barak, go gather some men. And Barak is sitting on it. And so it took this woman, Deborah, to say to him, "Go, has not the Lord of Israel commanded you? Go and gather your men." Verse 7. "And I, the Lord, I will draw out Sisera." That's the Lord speaking. "I will draw out Sisera, the general of Jabin's army, to meet you by the river." And I like what the Lord says here. He's bringing the chariots. Now, that's the thing that they were fearful of. That's the thing that gave the enemy, in a sense, some superiority. And the Lord says, "I want you to gather your 10,000 men, meet down by this river, and I'm going to bring Sisera, and he's going to bring his chariots with him." And I love the picture of that, because God doesn't bring an enemy to us to defeat us, like we talked about last week. He brings an enemy to us so that we can be victorious, like David and Goliath. And so he says here, "I will bring this guy out with his chariots and his troops." And what did the Lord say next? "I will give him into your hand." Now, that's the promise of the Lord given to this man, Barak, who was, for whatever reason, whether it was fear, who knows the motivation. We don't really see that in the scripture here, what motivated him. But he knew what God wanted him to do, but he wasn't doing it. And now the Lord is speaking to him, saying, "I'm going to go with you." Now, who's telling this to Barak? This is still Deborah speaking to him, saying, "Go, the Lord has commanded you, and he said, I will bring Sisera out. He will bring his chariots, but that I will be with you." And so the second thing I want to say about encouragement is, it's a reminder that God is also at work, that we can face our fears. We don't have to let the fears of this life hold us back from doing what it is that God has called us to do. We need to recognize that God is with us, even though he's invisible, that he is still there and he is fighting on our behalf. He is the one who's orchestrating this whole event. He's calling Barak down with his 10,000 men, and he's calling Sisera forward with his 900 chariots. He's saying, "Hey, I'm putting this together. It's going to be a great victory and to glorify myself." So encouragement is reminding people that God is at work. You know, you may have somebody coming to you saying, "Hey, man, I'm really going through a difficult time, or my family is experiencing this, or we're going through some financial troubles," or whatever it may be. You know what you can say to them? God is at work here. God is doing something. You may not see it. And we sang that song, you know, the God of Jacob and the God of Israel, the God of Mary. And he's the same God. He's working now as he worked then. He's answering prayer like he answered prayer then. And so you're just reminding people, lift up your eyes and recognize that in the midst of your trouble, whatever it is you're facing, God is at work. Watch what he will do. That's encouraging to hear that. Number 3, Judges 4, verse 8 and 9. Barak said to her, "If you go with me, I will go." There's some qualified obedience. "If you go with me, I will go. But if you will not go with me, I will not go." You know, so his obedience was really contingent upon support from somebody else. And you know what Deborah said? She didn't say, "Yeah, you're on your own, buddy. God told you, he didn't tell me." No, she said, "I will surely go with you." And so the third thing I want to say about encouragement is that it is a standing with others. You're standing with people in support of obedience. That's what it is. You're standing with people to support their obedience. God told Barak to go get your army, and he said, "I'll only go if you go with me." And to support his obedience, she said, "I'm going to go with you." Remember another story like that in the Bible was when the Lord called Moses to go speak to Pharaoh, and he was fearful. He said, "I can't speak. I have this tongue. I can't speak. Who's going to go with me?" And the Lord said, "Eventually, I'm going to send Aaron with you." So he sent Aaron with Moses to support the obedience. And sometimes we just need somebody to stand by us, who will walk with us through the situation, who will go with us down to the battle, and who will stand beside us and fight. And so encouragement is not only words we speak to people, but it's a commitment. I'm going to stand with you. I'm going to be with you in this battle, but I'm urging you to do what God has called you to do. And I'll stand with you. I'll stand with you till the end. And I love that about Deborah. The fourth thing, verse 9, she said, I will surely go with you. Nevertheless, the road on which you are going will not lead to your glory. You know, it's kind of neat when you're the captain of the army and you go out into a battle. It's kind of like your name gets lifted up, like David killed his tens of thousands. You know, Saul killed his thousands. It's kind of like you're the leader. You get lifted up on the pedestal when you win the battle. And she's telling him, I'm going to go with you, but let me tell you something. This road that you're on right now is not going to lead to your glory. It's not your name that's going to be lifted up here. For the Lord will sell Sisera into the hand of a woman. And then Deborah arose and went with Barak to Kadesh. Now, what's this say? The fourth thing I want to say about encouragement is it always speaks the truth. You know, encouragement is not lying to people. You know, someone comes to you looking like death warmed over and they say, how do I look today? You can't really say to them, you look beautiful to me. You can say you look beautiful on the inside. But, you know, encouragement always speaks the truth. And sometimes with encouragement, you have to speak truth that might hurt, might seem like a negative thing. But that's what encouragement is. It's about speaking the truth in love. And you know, don't shy away from that. Don't shy away from speaking truth into each other's lives. Let that be part of the ministry of encouragement. Yes, I want to urge you on to obedience to the Lord. I'm willing to stand with you, but I'm also going to speak truth into your life. You know, I'm not going to let our relationship or anything else keep me from saying what's right, what's true, what's honest. And that's the fourth thing I'll say about encouragement. The fifth thing is in Judges 4, verse 12, when Sisera was told that Barak, the son of Abinoam, had gone up to Mount Tabor, Sisera called out all his chariots. Now, let me ask you a question. Based on what we read earlier, is Sisera calling out his chariots, or is God bringing him with his chariots? Well, it's kind of both. He's doing it, but God is the one who's orchestrating this. God is in control of the situation. So Sisera thinks he's doing this, but the Lord is actually leading him to his demise. He's looking at his own strength. Hey, let's go. Let's bring all of our 900 chariots and all the men who were with him from Harosheth Hagoyim to the river Kishon. And Deborah then said to Barak, up! For this is the day in which the Lord has given Sisera into your hand. Does not the Lord go before you? And so Barak went down from Mount Tabor with the 10,000 men following him. And the Lord routed Sisera and all his chariots and all his army before Barak by the edge of the sword. And Sisera got down from his chariot and fled away on foot. Amen. The Lord brought that about. What's the fifth thing I want to say about encouragement? Encouragement does not change the situation, but it does change the perspective. You know, what Deborah was able to say, you know, they're looking at, oh man, he's gathering his army, he's gathering his chariots. She's able to say, hey, the Lord's doing this. Get ready. This is the day. This is the day in which the Lord has given him into your hand. Does not the Lord go out before you? And so it doesn't change the scenario, but it changes your perspective. I love that story in the Bible where Elijah's servant came out and said, oh, look, we're surrounded by the enemy. And Elijah said, Lord, open his eyes to see what's really here. And they saw they were surrounded by more angels, but he just didn't see. He didn't see the Lord's perspective. And so encouragement doesn't change the situation. You know, maybe you lost your job. Someone's going to come and speak to you and encourage you. Doesn't change the situation, but it does change your perspective. You know what? You lost your job, but God has a plan. God is in control. God is the one who moves people in this earth. Just like he moved armies back then. Let's look to the Lord. Let's begin to pray to him about how this situation can work out in his glory. You know, it just changes the perspective. Doesn't change the scenario. Well, poor Sisera. He gets down from his chariot. He starts running away on foot. I'm not going to read this story, but let me just give you the little bullet points. Sisera is running away, trying to escape. Barak is trying to find him, chasing him down. There was a woman by the name of Jael who sees Sisera running, and she invites him into her tent. She seems very hospitable. Come into my tent. Come and rest. You're running away. Come and get some rest. And she invites Sisera to her tent. And as he sleeps, here's how the Bible puts it. She took a hammer, went softly to him, and drove a tent peg into his temple. Amen? What a way to go. And that's what Deborah meant when she said, the road that you are on is not going to lead to your glory. The Lord will sell Sisera into the hand of a woman. Be careful when women are kind to you. No, I'm kidding. But what a terrible end. And it just shows again that God is able to see. He understands. He's able to work things for his glory. And this encouragement from Deborah was even able to see, you know, prophetically what God was doing, what God was going to do in this situation. And in Judges 4, verse 23, it says, on that day, God subdued Jabin, the king of Canaan, before the people of Israel. Ultimately, it's God who gets the glory. He's the one who subdued this enemy. So the message today is about encouragement. I'd like you to stand with me. And I'm going to just review these five things about encouragement. Which one do you think you can step into even today? Maybe you need encouragement, but I would like you to take the role of being an encourager. Ask God how you can take on that role. So one is, do I have them up on there? Yeah. Calling people. Yep. This is one. There's only one thing to do. These five things. It's a call to respond to what the Lord has commanded. You know, when you're talking to somebody and they're asking you about a situation, just say, hey, do what God has already told you. It's likely that many times a person even comes for advice, God has often already spoken to them if they're praying, if they're seeking the Lord. And all you're doing is you're reinforcing God is directing you. Do what the Lord's telling you. But always encourage obedience to the Lord. That's what encouragement does. Number two is a reminder that God is at work as well. You might look at your situation and think, oh, where is God? He's always at work. Always at work. Invisible to you, many times behind the scenes. You don't see it, you don't understand it, but he is at work. Just a reminder about that. Number three is standing with others to support them. You know, support their obedience. I'll be with you. You're afraid to go on your own. I'm going to go with you. I'll be there. I'll stand by you. But I want you. I'm helping to move you toward obedience, to do what God has told you to do. Four, always speak the truth. Encouragement always speaks the truth. Number five, it does not change a situation. It changes our perspective. You're just helping people to see the situation from God's point of view. That's all encouragement does. See it from God's point of view. And I pray that if you need encouragement, this would come into your life from somebody that you know or love. But I pray that all of us would become encouragers so that we can give to others what they need in this regard. So, Father, I thank you so much for the encouragement that comes from your word, the encouragement from your Holy Spirit. But you've also called us to encourage one another. It would be a relational thing between men and women of God. I pray, Lord, that you would help us all to be encouraging people. Help us learn from this story in the book of Judges how we can step into encouragement and maybe take one or two of these things and begin to speak these things into the lives of our friends. I pray you'd bless us and nurture us, Lord God, that we could be known as a church of great encouragement to others. I'm asking you for this in Jesus' name. And everybody said,